Welcome to Nostalgia Rewind. I'm Wes.
And I'm Chris.
And this is, and this movie that we're watching is Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. That was a bizarre intro.
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you for that.
You usually do them much better than me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, so Joe Dirt came out in 2001, and it's starring Mr. David Spade, Brittany Daniel, Dennis Miller, Adam Beach, Christopher Walken, Jamie Presley, Kid Rock.
Oh, Kid Rock.
Yeah, the one and only. Eric Per Sullivan, you know, Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, nice.
He plays little Joe Dirt.
That's right.
And that's...
that's pretty much it.
You know, Fred Ward.
What year did this come out?
2001.
2001.
Yes, and it is about, after being abandoned by his parents at the Grand Canyon, Joe Dirt tells the story of his journey to find his parents.
Nice. See, very simple, wholesome story to be told, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me, do you remember?
Okay, so once again.
You've seen this one, right?
I've seen this a few times. It's become a favorite of mine, but it's a favorite that I haven't seen in a while, so this is a good time to reevaluate the humor in it. Uh-huh. I remember some jokes from it, like he goes to like Gatorland at some point. They leave him at the Grand Canyon.
They did.
That's where his parents left him, and he has sex with his cousin or sister, or it wasn't true, and then
he thought it was possibly his sister.
So those are the memorable jokes that however old I was remembers. As far as the story plot, pretty simple. He's looking for he's on a radio show, and he's telling his story on the radio show.
Yeah, he's a janitor at the radio where they record the radio show. And I don't remember how they're like, hey, yeah, let's interview this nut job. But they decide to, for whatever reason. And he tells his crazy life story about, getting abandoned at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And how he ended up here and how he just wants to find Brandy again.
Oh, you even remember the name.
I do. I love this movie.
Brandy.
Yes. And when he sees her, or first meets her, she's dating or, like, I guess hangs around with Kid Rock. Kid Rock is the...
the cool guy?
Yeah. I guess he's the cool guy.
He's definitely not.
But I think my favorite thing from this movie is the shirt that he wears. I think he wears it when he's a kid, and it just says, life's a garden, dig it. And that becomes, like, his mantra. And I think it's such a great... like, he is so wholesome and just so positive. Like, he has every right to be jaded and miserable, but he's happy. I know it's probably because he's not supposed to be the brightest person in the world.
Looks on the bright side.
Yeah.
Something we all need sometimes.
Yeah. And so it's great. I think, for the most part, this movie's going to hold up. I think there will be some questionable things because it is early 2000 humor. Yeah, so it's not going to be perfect. But I think overall, I think it's still going to be as wholesome as I remember. My sister really loved this movie. I think that's why I've seen it so many times. I loved David Spade back in the day. I liked a lot of his movies. I wouldn't say more than Adam Sandler movies back then, but
Adam Sandler was king, and David Spade was like, you know,
he was the prince. He was like up there with him. I think it's still gonna be a fun time. I'm excited to see his dorky mullet and all the characters that he meets along the way, because they are all characters.
Yeah, I definitely think I'm gonna like it. As far as, like, holding up all the way through, we'll see.
It's going to be fun, though.
It will be.
It's going to be. I can guarantee that. Oh. And it's going to be a fun time.
High claims.
Joe Dirt.
Dirt!
Though I don't know if I'm going to love how mean everybody is to him. I didn't love those parts back then, but I'm
even
real...
more so. We're more sensitive to it.
Yeah, more sensitive now. I don't like mean people. So I think the parts where, you know, where they go back to the in-between from when he's telling the story and they show when he's with the radio host or whatever.
Yeah.
The radio host can be kind of a jerk. Not kind of. No, he is. So, yeah, I think I'm not going to love that. And I'm not going to love Kid Rock. I didn't love him then, though. So that hasn't changed. but, yeah, I say we do this thing.
All right. I'm excited.
We're back, Joe Dirt, and that movie is wholesome as fuck. That's all I have to say about that. Yeah, no, it was good.
I thought so too. Right? I like that Joe Dirt's character didn't stoop down to the people's level of when they made fun of him. He always had comebacks that were like, I'm rubber, you're glue. You know, like it was never like stooping down to insulting them.
Yeah.
He's never
mean to anybody else.
He's more like making jokes, alleviating the tension and stuff.
Yeah. So things we noticed, things we liked, things we didn't like. All right. First thing you pointed out. So Joe Dirt, the whole reason he has this terrible mullet is it's a wig. And his parents put it on his head when he was a baby. Because he had no top of his skull. His brain was showing. And they were like, oh, that's gross. So they put this wig on him. And then it fused together. And so he has this mullet wig for life now. But what was pointed out is that he was a baby when that wig was put on his head. And then, you know, obviously your head grows. So...
Yeah. And the hairstyle was always proportionate to...
To him.
To him. Which is pretty funny. I know it's for the joke and this is just a comedy movie, but still.
How does it work?
Yeah, I like that he didn't insult anybody. I like the way the story was told. I liked Brandy, even though Brandy was pretty much a somewhat shallow character, but overall she was always nice. She loved him. I like that at the end he kind of got payback for all the crappy people in his life. Like, he got the car that he wanted, he got the girl, and then like he splashed water on this guy that was crappy to him. And Kid Rock, he literally kicked rocks on his car and destroyed it. Like, I like the wholesome revenge or just resolution to...
Yeah,
to
despite him. All his trials and tribulations and everybody being a dick to him, he won in the end. He got the girl, the dog, the family.
Yo, but the radio show host was so mean all the Super way through. Mean. He's like, so you're like white trash, huh? So what type of white trash are you? Why are you the white trash or whatever? And he just kept going. And then
he was terrible.
And then Joe Dirt just was like, you know, I'm not going to stay here if you're making fun of me. And, you know, but everybody got invested in the story. You know, they show like, oh, what's happening? It kind of reminded me of the Truman Show when everybody's like really paying
really
attention
into
to his
life. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a compelling story, hence the movie, which he calls it, the radio host calls it the saga of Joe Dirt. And to be honest, I wish that's what they named the movie. I think it's...
Why do you think it's better than just being called Joe Dirt?
I don't know. It sounds like monumental.
The saga of Joe Dirt.
It just encapsulates... It is a saga. We saw this man's, like, whole life from being abandoned as a child to...
8 years old.
Yeah, to, you know, finally getting the girl at the end.
Yeah, well, finding his parents.
Yeah.
And then getting a resolution where they were just extorting him and they were terrible people.
Yeah, they were garbage.
And getting the girl at the end.
Yeah. So, I just think it's a fun name for such a dumb movie. It is dumb.
Super dumb.
Okay. So, there... So when he finally gets to Louisiana, which is where his family's house is, where he would have grown up if his parents didn't abandon him, which also just seems bizarre to me that as an 8-year-old, he forgot where he lived.
Right. I mean, how much do you guys remember between 0 to 8?
I mean, 8's a pretty high age, like... I think you'd remember the state you live in.
At least, yeah, that's true, at least.
So I feel like he should have already known that his parents... I mean, then again, it was a traumatic experience. He didn't even remember his parents' name. So maybe he just blocked out...
What is it, Nutterburger? Whataburger.
It was a dumb last name. I don't remember. He didn't remember their first names. Whatever. So he finally gets to Louisiana, where his home, childhood home is at. And while he's there, he sees, you know, it's they're not there anymore. They don't live there. And he's outside and he's all upset. And then a guy comes by and he has like a, what is it? He speaks in like a Cajun dialect.
Yeah, Cajun, yeah.
So this guy, this actor, I can't remember his name. He is also in The Waterboy. And in The Waterboy, he plays the exact same character. And as we all know, The Waterboy takes place in Louisiana. So is this the Happy Madison? Is it Happy Madison?
Happy Madison Cinematic Universe?
Yeah. Is this what we are doing? Is this what Adam Sandler and whoever else works on Adam Sandler movies have planned all along? Are they all connected?
Are they all, like, Adam Sandler's going to release some Netflix film that connects them all together?
Yeah. Like, I know, I think Rob Schneider and a couple other people have played similar characters in other movies. So, yeah, so are they all, is it a cinematic universe? Have we been doing cinematic universes far longer than we all actually realized before Marvel?
I don't know. I love it. What's up Adam Sandler's sleeve? We may be uncovering something.
Yeah, but that was great. I like to believe that in a world where what's his name in Waterboy?
Bobby Boucher.
That's right. Where Bobby Boucher and Joe Dirt live in the same world. Maybe if Joe Dirt didn't get abandoned at the Grand Canyon, he would have grown up in Louisiana, and he and Bobby Boucher would have been, like, the best of friends.
Right?
Bobby Boucher is really nice, too, and real positive. I think they would have gotten along real well.
That's true. They were both really positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both really sweet people and, like, didn't really let anybody... Well, no, Bobby Boucher used his anger from people. but for the most part, they keep cool and don't let it bother them too much. I think they would have been best friends.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie where Joe Dirt and the alternate timeline where he didn't get abandoned.
Crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. I didn't care for all the poop jokes.
There was quite a few poop jokes, and maybe that should be in the early 2000s bingo, like poop jokes. Because there was one that he ties a septic tank up onto his back, and he thinks it's a bomb, so he's like threatening everybody because he wants the records of the tourist records so he can find his parents. And the guy's like, oh, that's not a bomb, that's just an old septic tank. And then the guy hits it with a hammer, and then poop falls all over him, and we hold on to that shot. We're like, you're gonna see this guy get poop dripped all over him.
And not only so, even if this cop wanted to hit it and like teach Joe Dirt a lesson for being stupid, fine, okay, but did he have to open it in the store that he was in?
Right, so it's not even like, oh, you're punishing him. So you're punishing everybody. People have to clean this up. He's not going to clean it up.
Yeah, the store owners, everybody that was there that day, like, just everybody had to deal with that. And that's just not cool, cops. You all suck.
Right, yes. Second poop is there's a meteorite, and he thinks it's a meteorite. He named it Joe Meteorite. And we find out later that it's basically the waste from an airplane. So it's just a giant rock of poop. I guess they like freeze dry it or whatever. And he eats his food on it. And then that's like the whole joke.
Yeah.
And
that's
another poop one. I'm sure there's one more in there, but
it's harmless, but I don't know. It was gross. I don't want that humor, but that's fine.
I guess it's part of the slapstick humor genre. Like Dumb and Dumber would have their poop jokes.
Yeah. It's just like stupid boy humor.
It is boy humor.
And like I said, that's fine.
This is directed by a woman, though.
Yeah, but it was written by a man. Two men. So.
Double the manpower.
So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I just don't care for it. Whatever. So, what? All the characters he meets. So, first he meets... Oh, my goodness. I can't remember his name. First he meets... Kicking Wing. He's a Native American man that's selling sparklers at the side of the road.
What's the two things? Sparklers and...
Sparklers and... I don't know. Whatever the other thing was, it's uninteresting because nobody wants sparklers and whatever.
Whatever
else
the other one is.
So he's selling those because those are the only fireworks that he likes. And Joe Dirt then decides to list off a whole bunch of fireworks that he's like, these are the ones that you need to have. And some of the names I recognize, some of them I knew were legit. But I want to know how many in that list were real.
Right. So you don't got any Roman candles, some Tiddly Tibblers. Some butt lickers. Like, it was a funny bit. I liked it.
It was good. But, and then that leads up to the septic tank. Also, fun fact, the actor Adam Beach that plays Kicking Wing is in Smoke Signals, and you recognized him. Your face blindness, you recognized him.
Yeah. There are some movies that really stick with me.
That's another wholesome, good time movie.
It is, and I like that movie, and I like those actors because they're Native American, and I like when
you don't get a lot of that.
Yeah, I want to see more representation or more story, Native American stories, or you know, any brown people stories. I want to see more of it. So I maybe that's why I recognized him. That movie really stuck with me.
It was good though. We do recommend that one too. We should do. Episode for that. Good movie. So he meets Kicking Wing, who and also he's doing this fireworks because he wants to be a veterinarian. That's his dream. So then after that he ends up getting into an air hot air balloon and then flying away.
But he goes all the way up to where, like, you know, commercial airliners are at.
Yeah, he's pretty high up there. And then he ends up in North Dakota, South Dakota. He ends up working at an oil rig while he's there.
For like, $360 a week. Exactly how much he needed, right?
Yes, so like that he could hire a police sketch artist so that he can put up posters for his family.
Wow.
Yes, and the posters look awful. which isn't surprising. This man can't remember the name of his parents. I highly doubt he can remember what his parents look like.
Didn't one of them look like the serial killer, right?
Yeah, I think one of them, he said, looked like, I can't remember who it was, but yeah, I think it was a serial killer. And then his dad ended up looking like Father Time, or Gandalf.
It was hilarious.
Dumbledore. He looked like all three of them. So yeah, then he goes there, then he ends up working at a carnival, where he meets Jamie Presley's character.
She's from My Name is Earl.
Yep, you recognized her there too. I'm surprised. Your face blindness is
no, lacking. For very distinct people. Very distinct.
So yeah, so he meets her. They hit it off. She is super attracted to him, which I guess that's the most bizarre thing about this. Because he has a mullet. But also, David Spade is a short man. I don't know if he's supposed to be short in this movie.
Right.
But, I don't know. A lot of women end up being picky about that. I'm not saying that you should be. Nobody's bothered by that in this movie. Or his mullet. First of all, the mullet.
Nobody says
the
a thing about the mullet. Yeah. Not a thing.
That should be the first thing where we're all like,
I guess the 90s, pass. You know, maybe it was strong. It was a strong time to have a mullet.
2000s? Early 2000s?
Oh, yeah. I guess
late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah. This movie feels
like I feel like mullets were gone, but what do I know? Anyways, then he thinks that she's his sister. She's not, thank God.
But he can't get off unless he's thinking she is.
That was a joke.
Oh, that's right. He did it for the laughs.
Yeah.
I don't know why it always sticks with me.
That was real?
Yeah. I'm like, there it is. Incest. White trash.
And then after that, he ends up leaving, and he meets Christopher Walken's character.
His funny. Christopher Walken's great.
He is great. I love him in everything. Yes. He's a janitor at a school. I guess he gets Joe Dirt a job there, or they meet there, I don't remember. But so they're janitors together. Christopher Walken ends up saving a bunch of kids because they created mustard gas in their science class. How the science teacher let this happen is beyond me. What a dumbass. But he ends up saving all of them. And then when he's about to get all the credit for it, he gives it to Joe Dirt because Clem, Christopher Walken's character, is in witness protection.
Yeah, witness protection for, he's in the mob, right?
Yeah, he was in the mafia. And Joe Dirt doesn't know this. So when Joe Dirt goes and talks about it on the news, he then brings out a picture of Christopher Walken. And he's like, I didn't save those kids. He saved those kids. And this is his name, and he's from this town. And he gives out, like, all this information. So, of course, the people after him come after him.
I think that's a solid joke, too. I like that whole bit that he's, like, a old boss turned into a informant. Mm. Or a rat, as the mafia calls it.
Yeah, and then they come after him, but Christopher Walken takes them all down. He's a beast. And then he fakes his death so that he can, you know, go become somebody else in the witness protection continuity. So then he leaves them. Where does he go after that? So many people he meets. Oh, the Gator.
The Gatorland, or Gator World, whatever.
I forgot what it was called, but yeah, we'll just call it Gatorland for nostalgia reasons for us. You all don't know what Gatorland is. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know if you're familiar with Central Florida's terrible amusement parks. But he works there, meets a woman whose parents were eaten by gators. And for some reason, she decides to stay there. And I guess that didn't traumatize her enough. Like, she could have sold that as a kid. Or however old she was, and just went and did something else. But she decided to keep this Gatorland attraction, and that's just bizarre to me. Wouldn't you just think of your parents' death every day?
Every single day, and that gator was so big.
Yes.
But that was another slapstick moment to me that kind of reminded me of like Ace Ventura, where the big animal grabs him and then swings him all around, and we stay on it for a while. And then that's the joke.
Yes.
And it didn't land too hard nowadays. I think slapstick is different now, or something. But I think that was my least favorite thing.
Really? The gator?
This more of the super slapstick comedy. Like, the joke is that he's being swung around.
Yeah, I don't care for slapstick comedy.
Yes.
I guess I can see the appeal, but I don't know. It's fine. I think what really got me in that scene and what really just took me out of it is that he's holding a cigarette the whole time, right? And the cigarette just has a ton of ash on it. Like, it's just been burning.
It's all ash, almost.
Yeah, it's been burning between his fingers for a long time, and he's holding it and waving it around. And, you know, clearly it's a prop cigarette.
Yes, no smoke, no anything.
Yeah, and so the ash doesn't fall. It just stays on there. And then, yeah, there's no smoke, there's no nothing, and it just really took me out that this was a fake cigarette. I would have rather it had not been there, or at least the ash wasn't as...
Do you think that that's the joke, though?
It probably is. I'm thinking about it now, yes. They probably thought it was funny, but it just took me out too much. I don't know. It just bothers me.
You're like, that's a prop. I see it.
Yeah. I wish it didn't grab my attention so much because it's stupid, but it did, and I wish they hadn't done that. So, yeah. So, after the gator bites down on him... He then keeps it moving because he's got to go find his parents. He decides to go back to Brandy.
Yes.
Okay. So he goes back to Brandy, but he's met by Kid Rock. I'm losing it.
Chris, Kid. They're all the same.
He is met by Kid Rock, who is not a good reader. And he reads a note from Brandy saying that I found your parents.
But first, I think the funny part about that, what really lands that he can't read is that he acts so tough. It's like, yeah, he don't want to. She doesn't want to see you anymore and says that you suck and blah, 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 blah. Here's the note she read. And he's like, I don't. And there's something that, for me, when somebody doesn't know how to read, boy, does that just, it sinks your heart a little bit. You're like, aw. I mean, he's a terrible person.
That's probably why he's so mean.
It's true, yeah. So, yeah, that hits me in the wholesomeness. I'm like, aw, he can't read.
You laughed at him.
I did laugh at him, but that's because he deserved it. He was mean. But that's not the point. Vengeance is not good.
You're just as bad as Kid Rock.
An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. But the whole point is, yeah, I guess it's... It was supposed to be funny, I guess. I'm conflicted between it being funny and it being something that's kind of like, that hurts. Hurts, you know? Somebody not being able to read is very, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's like, they're very vulnerable. They look very... Yeah. Fragile, like it's because they're trying so hard, and I guess we take reading for granted. Like, we learn how to read and then we keep it moving. So for a grown man not to be able to read,
That sucks. I can't imagine what it would be like as a grown adult not being able to.
Sounding out the words out loud. Yeah. And anybody is gonna be like, look at how stupid you are.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what.
Yeah, people are going to be mean, which is just going to hinder you further. You're not gonna want to try because it's embarrassing. Nobody's gonna be. I mean, people will be supportive, but not. There's gonna be a lot of assholes. So, it's heartbreaking. So, yeah, so he reads this note from Brandy saying that she found his parents, don't tell Joe dirt, and that was it. And then, so Joe takes this as, like, oh, Brandy's being mean to me. She found my parents and didn't want to tell me. Find out, the guy at the radio station calls Brandy. Brandy talks to him and is like, oh, no, it's because I found your parents and your parents died.
Side note, the radio was ready with her number. Like, yeah, they already tracked her down.
They had her number in 2 seconds. They don't even know her last name. He's never said her last name. It doesn't make any sense, but whatever. They get her on the phone ASAP. And then he continues, I guess, on with his life. He's like, okay, my parents are dead. That's fine. So he goes on TRL. You all remember TRL. Total Request Live.
Oh, yeah.
MTV.
She was so proud to remember that.
Proud. Just I watch TRL every day. Music
what does
videos.
That even mean? Total what?
Total Request Live. You would call in and request music videos and vote on music videos, and there would be like a top 10 list or whatever.
Wow.
Of music videos.
That's interesting that was just even viable back then.
Because you didn't like watching music videos?
No, I did too. I definitely did, but like the internet, I feel like has destroyed that market. Now,
100%.
Now there's the music video that goes on YouTube, and you can't make a whole show out of music videos.
No.
You just can't.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to think that was a market back then that doesn't exist anymore.
Honestly, it works better because Carson Daly sucks.
He seems like it.
But we all watch it anyways because, I don't know.
You gotta get through the music videos.
Yeah. So he's there, and then little Joe Dirt, his parents call. And they're like, we're alive. We didn't die. And he's like, oh, snap. And they're in California. So he gets to California somehow. We don't see that part. And he meets his parents. And they are garbage. Straight up, like, it was better thinking that they were dead, which is why Brandy lied to him. Because they suck. Like, he starts asking them all these questions, you know, how did you not go back and look for me? What happened? And they're like, oh, they start making up excuses. They're like, how does a rainbow happen? I don't even remember what else they said, but it was all garbage.
Isn't that the same, like, logic he told, what was it? I'm not going to say the name, but the Native American.
Oh, Kicking Wing?
Kicking Wing.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same type of logic he told Kicking Wing, where he asked, like, why do you want, like, big explosions for fireworks? It's like, why are titties nice? Why are blah, 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 you know? Why is the sky blue? So he did the same thing his dad did.
I mean, yes, but they're just two total, you know, why do people like fireworks and why did you not look for me as an 8-year-old child in the Grand Canyon are two totally different.
Noted. Yeah. It is.
So Joe Dirt keeps grilling them, and then finally they're like, look, we didn't leave you on accident, like, we knew we left you, and we just left, because they're garbage.
And they're like, by our clowns. When you were gone, I just looked at a clown, and I couldn't stop grinning. And those clowns look like, I don't know, My Precious Moments, but horrifying.
Yeah, they were terrifying. They were awful. So then Joe Dirt destroys them all.
See? Victory.
It was wonderful, and then he leaves, and then he ends up going back to
He's going to jump off a bridge.
He's going to jump off a bridge. And then Brandy shows up and is like, no, I love you, and come home and make little Joe Dirt babies with me. And then he's like, really? You look, because he's such an idiot that he didn't realize. He's not an idiot. He's just
naive.
Yes. And does not pick up on any cues for anything. And then he's like, okay, cool. So then he's about to go, and then a cop is able to lasso him.
But the funny part about the cop lassoing him is, like, he has to mention, is like, hey, I got him lassoed with a bungee cord. Yeah. So the audience knows that, okay, he's going to fall off, but let's not feel too.
Yeah, so then, yeah, he falls, and it's like bungee jumping, but he hits his head, which looked terrible. Like, if that happened for real, that man would have died, or at least been seriously brain damaged. He wakes up, his head wrapped up in bandage, and all his friends are there. You got Kicking Wing, you got Clem, you got, what's the Gator Lady's name? I don't know. Gator Lady.
Gator Lady.
I forgot her name.
Gator Lady.
I feel bad, but Gator Lady's there, and Brandy's there. And they're all like, you're okay, Joe, and everything's great. And then they cut off the bandages, and now he's got braids. He's got a new hair. Questionable if it should be okay.
Yeah.
And then they get in their car. They get him a Hemi, right?
Yeah.
His dream car that he had in the beginning of the movie at one point, and then he loses it and can't afford to get it back. So now he has it, and he has a new dog. They call him Charlie, too. It's Charlie's baby, though. So that's cool. And he's got his whole family. And then Kid Rock shows up. And he's like, oh, Joe Dirt, we told you nobody wanted you around here. And then Clem starts talking to him. He's like, what do you mean? Who are you? You know, whatever. And then Kid Rock is like, what? Why do you care? Who are you? You his dad? And then he's like, what if I am?
What if I am? But the way he delivers the line is so good. It's like intimidating. I'm like, yeah, what if you are?
Ooh. Yeah. And then Kid Rock's like, well, I'm going to race you and be better than you. And then they're all like, your car sucks. And Joe Dirt drives off and kicks rocks at Kid Rock and lives happily ever after with his new family and dog.
You know, the thank you for the Joe Dirt saga recital. Anyway,
it's a great movie.
You recited the whole thing.
I know.
You just went on. It's good.
I couldn't help it. It's a saga. It's the saga of Joe Dirt. Classic. I'm sorry. Continue.
I was going to say, it reminds me, the ending has the same tone or feeling of, like, Happy Gilmore. Like, at the end, he gets everything. He's with everybody. And it kind of ends in, like, looking at a sunset, holding hands. Holding hands, arm in arm. What I'm saying is, I could definitely see the Happy Madison touch to this movie.
Yeah. That's why I'm telling you, they're all in the cinematic universe. We gotta look deeper into this. So yeah, I don't know. I just said the whole movie, so I don't know what else to say.
You sure did. So the movie holds up. Couple rough spots. Overall, wholesome movie because the main character's good.
Yeah. It's dumb. It's a dumb movie. I'm not going to say it's a great movie or anything.
Times
like
these, we need just a little dumb stuff.
Yeah. You get that levity. Like I said, that wholesomeness is what we need right now in life. So, highly recommend. Trivia time?
Yes.
Trivia. All right. The list of names Joe Dirt reads on the tour bus are the same as the ones a teacher called for attendance in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice.
That's cute. I like nods to other things, even if I don't catch them. When the hot air balloon comes down near the oil derrick, a sign with Scotch Oil on it is seen. Scotch Oil was the name of David Spade's friend Chris Farley's family oil business in Wisconsin. That's really nice. I like that. That's a wholesome trivia for you. Roseanne Barr and Gary Busey were originally cast as Joe Dirt's parents. However, Roseanne mysteriously quit the project one day after creating months of delay, re-editing, and reshoots, so director Denny Gordon decided to reshoot the scene with Caroline Aaron and Fred Ward.
Ah. Probably for the better.
I think so. Though, it would have been funny seeing Roseanne and Gary Busey. The hardtop that Joe Dirt drove throughout most of the movie is a replica of a 1969 Dodge Daytona, a limited production car built for only 1 year during the muscle car era of the late 60s and early 70s. Only 503 of the real Daytonas were ever built.
Nice. Mint. It's a rare car.
Dirt's character was loosely based on David Spade's childhood friend, Ryan Taylor. I need more info from that.
Did he have a wig? Number one.
Did his friend really get abandoned at the Grand Canyon? I need more information from that.
Now you're like the radio host in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't give me enough information. All of Dennis Miller's scenes were filmed in one day. It's an easy paycheck. Good for you, bro.
Right?
Bill Murray and Robin Williams were considered for the role of Joe Dirt. Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
I think with this type of trivia, it's so funny. Like, if we ever made a movie, like, even, like, the shortest of movies that doesn't reach anywhere, we could put in the trivia. It's like, we were considering Tom Hanks
and Nicolas Cage. And Kevin Bacon.
Because we were. We were considering them. Were we ever going to get them? Absolutely not. Did we call them? No.
With either one of those would have been such a different vibe, yes. A different movie. No, it was just the way it needed to be. Each time Robbie, Kid Rock's character, gets dust in Joe's face with his car, the song You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet is playing. This happens 3 times. Fun, I guess.
I guess is correct.
Various VHS titles had a preview for this movie and titled it The Adventures of Joe Dirt. I would have liked that title, too.
The event? Yeah. Because he is telling his whole adventure.
Yeah. So. The scene in which Joe, while working in the quarter-toss booth at the carnival, sprays the plates down with Pam is a reference to his 1998 stand-up special, Take the Hit, in which he joked about trying to make a quarter land on a plate sprayed with Pam at a carnival. I would not be surprised about carnivals doing that. We both worked in...
a stationary carnival.
Yeah.
In Florida.
But there were things that were definitely...
Oh, yeah. The hoops are oval, and we can control the pressure on the water gun and everything.
Yeah. So this does not surprise me. I remember one time working... Maybe this was when you were working there, because we didn't work there at the same time. But there's a rope ladder game, which is just about physically impossible unless you practice this rope ladder.
Yes.
And I think this was when you were working. And a carny, without telling you... they were a carny.
Oh, yeah.
Came and won the prize. Because the prizes that we had there was like an iPod and...
a mini motorcycle.
Yeah. And nobody was ever supposed to win those. We were always told, do not let anybody win these.
So this guy did tell me.
He did?
Yeah. He came up to me and he's like, hey, we usually have a rule in Carnival where we don't win each other's games, but I want that iPod or whatever. So I'm going to win that. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Don't care. I am 17. And then he came and he won it. And then the boss was like, what would you do? Or did you let him win? I'm like, the guy works at a carnival. What am I supposed to do? Stop him. Jeez. Oh,
such a ridiculous job. I remember one time we also had those crane machine games, but they were always like souped up crane machines. They had like
PS4s yeah. and Xboxes.
Yeah.
It was like the giant crane machine.
Yeah. And of course, they were always set to be impossible to win.
There's a percentage that you could put in the back where you're like, okay, 10% wins, 1% wins. And by law, you have to have some percentage in it.
Yeah, but we didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. Our boss was like zero, all of them.
All the time. Every once in a while, they would have us change it so that somebody would win. So
specifically on Saturday during the most busy hour. Yeah. He would go back there, change the thing, and then he would wait for the win.
Yeah, and then, of course, change it back so only one person would win. But then nobody would ever get suspicious about not winning. But one day someone won, and they won like a $500 gift card or something like that. And this was early on, like we had all just opened, and the manager at the time was like, hey, somebody just won the crane. They weren't supposed to. We don't have the money to give them. I was like, this isn't my problem. I'm in high school. I don't care. But okay. Anyways, carnivals, they're great. Not really. But we have good stories from them. Fun times.
That's a sneak peek.
Where was I? Okay. The scene where young Joe is, quote unquote, left behind by his parents at the Grand Canyon was actually not Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona, but rather was Utah's scenic Dead Horse Point State Park. Honestly, all the deserts look the same.
There's dirt, and then there's Joe Dirt.
When Joe Dirt first returns home as an adult, Blake Clark reprises his role as the mushmouth farmer friend from Waterboy.
Yeah. See? So it is connected.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm gonna send a letter to Sandler and be like, so when's that Happy Madison cinematic universe gonna start up?
It's already started, baby. It's already here. The convertible Hemi used in the movie is a 1967 Plymouth GTX. For all you gearheads.
Yeah.
That's what you go by, right?
It's not a Daytona.
Yeah. Kid Rock's character name is Robbie. Kid Rock's real name is Robert.
Coincidence? Maybe.
Who knows? The part about the dog's kibble getting frozen to the porch and thawed with warm water and a spatula is from comic Tom McGillen's act. McGillen is a friend of co-writer Fred Wolf and also has a small part in the film. That's right. I forgot about the dog's testicles freezing to the porch.
Yo, he had the biggest ones. You know what's funny? thinking about his testicles, because I took a hard think on those ones.
Yes.
I think those testicles look much more human than they do dog-like.
How often are you looking at both human and dog testicles?
As a 30-year-old man, I've seen plenty of dog testicles.
Okay.
And I've seen my testicles aplenty. And, okay, but for real, it looks like one of those props that they use, like, in Step Brothers, where he puts his testicles on the drums. It looks like that. And a dog's testicles doesn't look like that. I mean, somebody send me pictures. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Please don't. Oh, never you can't mind. Ask the internet for that.
Never mind. I take it all back. That scene was fine.
Oh, man. Jill's cabin used in the movie is the same cabin used on the outskirts of town in Black Sheep. Another movie starring David Spade. Never saw it.
David Spade's like, I got the perfect spot, guys.
Right. Jennifer Aniston, Linda Hamilton, and Sandra Bullock were considered for the role of Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Boo.
I'm glad that it's, I don't know, Brittany this woman that something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Producer and performer Anthony Begonia wore his high school band Aloha shirt in the We Love Dirt crowd scenes.
Say the last name again.
Begonia.
Is that Chidi's last name in Good Place?
No.
Okay, let's keep moving on.
I don't think so.
Sounds close. Maybe not.
The film is included on the film critic Robert Ebert's most hated list. Nobody likes you, Robert Ebert.
A world-renowned critic? What you don't say. We have Twitter now. We're all critics.
Yeah, we have Rotten Tomatoes. We don't need you anymore. I'm just kidding. I don't like Rotten Tomatoes either.
Yeah.
Scott Bakula, Tom Hanks, Owen Wilson, and Robert Hayes were considered for the role of Kicking Wing.
Once again, to be considered for a role, all it takes is to be like, man, it would be cool to have Scott Bakula on this. We sent them a letter and they said no, so technically he was considered.
Also, all of these options, I don't know who Robert Hayes is at the moment, but all of these options are white men. So, but you don't was care it for them to be a Native American.
Was it for to be a Native American?
You to don't be think... Kicking Wing.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the script, he refers to himself as Indian, and Joe Dirt calls him Indian, so not politically correct at all. But, yeah, his character is Native American. So, yeah, glad that didn't happen. Michael J. Fox, Steve Martin, Billy Crystal, Kevin Costner, and Ray Romano were considered for the role of Xander Kelly, the DJ.
Oh, yeah, the DJ was pretty much nobody. Who cares?
Yeah, I think it was fine with who it was.
Yeah. It would have took away from Joe Dirt or David Spade.
Yeah, I can see that if it was any of those. I think
if it was like a known person, I think.
I think the guy that played him was pretty well
was known. He?
You just don't know him.
Well, there you go.
But I probably, yeah, probably not on the same level as Steve Martin or Michael J. Fox, you know, Ray Romano. Robert De Niro, John Turturro, Kevin Spacey, Christopher Lloyd, and Gene Hackman were considered for the role of Clem. Oh, so glad that it was Christopher Walken.
Yes.
So Robert De Niro may have been fun.
I think John Turturro would have been good, too.
Who's John Turturro?
He's an indie star darling. He ended up doing a lot of good indie movies. Man, and I should know this. But he ended up being in Transformers.
Ah, like he would have been
a
fun
joke
too.
Character. Yeah, I know him from Barton Fink because I'm hip.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're cool.
I watched IFC growing up, kids. The IFC channel. You ever heard of it? I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It's not that big a deal.
Joanna Lumley was considered for the role of Jill. Who's Jill? Oh, is that the crocodile lady? Is that her name, Jill?
Possibly.
Probably.
There was nobody else.
I don't know who this is. Who Joanna Lumley is. Not by name. Oh, yeah, I know her by face. Okay. Yeah, that's her crocodile lady. Same vibe. Just look at her.
Just look at her.
Same vibe. I get it. Okay. Okay, last trivia here. Christopher Walken's last identity in witness protection is Gert B. Forbe. Gert Forbe is the German actor who played the iconic James Bond villain in Goldfinger. Walken played Max Zorin in another James Bond movie, A View to a Kill, whose plot is similar to Goldfinger.
Deep cut, but that doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, we don't watch any James Bond movies. Don't at us. Don't care. Also, just to say that these two James Bond movies have similar plots. Like, there's so many James Bond movies. Aren't there a lot of them?
I think after the 20th James Bond, you're going to recycle a couple of plots.
Right? So that's all the trivia. Some fun stuff there. And, that was Joe Dirt.
That was Joe Dirt. It was good.
Life's a garden. Dig it.
Dig it. You probably don't need to watch it, as you did such a great job explaining the whole movie. So.
It's just so good, you guys.
Yeah, it was great.
I say still watch it, because it's wholesome, and we need it in these times.
Yes. Check out Joe Dirt. Totally recommend it. If you have any suggestions for the next movies that we should take a look at, please leave a comment below.
Yes.
Message us, you know, text message us. Where's our number? You should know it. And if you don't, then you're not a person who should be texting us.
You can leave it in a comment, though.
Leave it in a comment. If you're on Anchor, I think you could leave, like, a voicemail or something.
Yeah, leave us the voicemails there.
That would be cool. We'll play it. We'll play that voicemail. Wouldn't that be cool? It would be cool, right? Somebody. Please.
So Joe Dirt, it was fun. I liked it. It was wholesome. Definitely needed. Check it out. Like, subscribe, comment, all that fun stuff.
Cue music.
All right. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.